It's good to be here tonight. It's been a while since we've been back, and it is coming home. It is coming home for us. We've been missed being here with you all. We are no longer with the Dublin Powell Church. In December, we decided the drive was just too much. It was 40, 45 minutes one way. And so Linda was just getting too old for that. And so we opted not to do that anymore. And so we looked around and even considered coming back here. And then we realized it's still a half hour. And so that passed by pretty quick. But it is good to be back. Things are going well with us. Linda is the office manager for my son, Derek, Dr. Derek Myers, at connectrehab.com, if you want to get on and see what they're all about. But she runs his office for him. I'm working about 15 hours a week in the admin part of his practice. Data entry, scanning records, putting together flyers, and typing forms and things like that for them. And preaching for some churches in the Licking County area, and just trying to stay somewhat busy. So I looked forward to tonight when Robin called and said, "Would you like to come back?" I said, "Sure. We'll be back there in a heartbeat." My topic tonight is run the race. And I got to make sure, yes, sir. Got to make sure they still work. Obstacle course. You know, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12:1 makes a statement. "I want you to run with perseverance the race that's marked out before you." And as I thought about that, one of the fascinating races for me in the Olympics, but it's also with horses, is the steeplechase. Aha, I got to remember where I am here. Is the steeplechase. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the steeplechase. In the Olympics, the steeplechase, you're running around this track, and they've got these hurdles, and some of the hurdles, you just clear the hurdle. Sometimes the hurdle leads to about a 10-foot pool of water. And so you either try to jump the pool of water or land in the water and keep running. And so you're supposed to clear it. This is a time sequence. You're supposed to clear it like this. But as true with all things in life, sometimes the course gets congested and you have a whole lot of people trying to run the course. And when you have a whole lot of people around, sometimes it just doesn't go as planned. And so what happens is you take a fall. And that one had to hurt. As the saying goes, that'll leave a mark. And we always have those things, don't we? In our lives, we have the hurdles. And in the book, Don't Give Up, the author talks about in this chapter, Nehemiah, and the obstacles he was going to face as he goes back to Jerusalem. And you got to put yourself in Nehemiah's place now. He gets this report. The city is in ruins. And Nehemiah hurts. He hurts for the city. And he said, "We got to do something." But as with every plan, Nehemiah ran into obstacles. And I want to talk about the obstacles in the book. Now, I have a unique approach to study guides. and I learned it in college and in graduate school. My teachers in graduate school would say, okay, here's the books on your reading list, and here's what I want you to know. Now, for my class, you can throw that aside, and you're also responsible for what I tell you. And so I don't want to tell you stuff you can read for yourself. So I'm going to touch on some of the things in the book, but I'm also going to talk about some things that are personal and some things that we've experienced in our obstacle course in the past 10 years and beyond. And so you'll just have to stay with me as we go through this. We're going to talk about the author's first four obstacles, and then I'm going to mention some more, and then we're going to get into how do you win the race? How do you keep on? When the going gets tough, how do you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Because that's what it's about. It's always about getting up one more time than you've been knocked down. Now, some of you will not remember this. Others will. But there was a heavyweight boxing match a few years ago. Ingemar Johansson and Floyd Patterson. Those names ring a bell with anybody? They fought a heavyweight match. Floyd Patterson was knocked down 7 times in that fight. And everybody was saying, there's no way he can win the fight. And when the fight's over, the decision is going to go to Ingemar Johansson. Floyd Patterson, knocked down 7 times, got up 8, and knocked Johansson out. I'm telling you, the fight that we're in, when we get knocked down, if we just get up one more time that we've been knocked down, we win. That's all it's about. Just getting up one more time than you get knocked down. And so the obstacles that you face, if it knocks you down, get over it. Don't sit there and contemplate it and study it and have meetings about it and all this stuff. Just get over it and get on. Sometimes we kill churches by all of our meetings trying to figure out what to do about this obstacle instead of just going on. I'm going to share with you a personal story. It's about Southgate, where I was. Several years ago, we had a mass exodus out of the church at Southgate. We had 3 of our 5 elders that were transferred or retired. 4 out of our 8 deacons were transferred. We lost 7 men out of our leadership. And so, excuse me, when the elders and deacons met, we got to talk, what are we going to do? And what about the budget? Because these guys were givers. What are we going to do? And they said, David, what do we do? I said, let's increase our budget by $10 a week. They said, what? I said, let's don't back up. If I believe in my God, then He will help me through whatever obstacle we are faced with. Let's just keep on. And so we did. And you know what? Our contribution, even though we lost 47 people out of those 7 transfers, our contribution did not drop. And I'm saying, let's don't dwell on the negative. When an obstacle hits, let's deal with it and move on. Nehemiah faced some obstacles, as the author will tell you. First of all, the first one he mentions is the obstacle of indifference. Sometimes, you know, we just feel that job is huge. I don't know that I can do it. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not qualified. It's so far away, I can't do anything about it. So why worry about it? Nehemiah had to deal with that. You ever had to deal with that? I'm raising my hand. I come back from transplant. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I'm 60 years old. I cannot preach full time anymore. That's all I knew. I hated insurance, and I wasn't about to learn to be an insurance agent. That seems to be what preachers do when they get out of ministry for whatever reason. And I thought, there's nothing for me to do. Nothing for me to do. And I thought, I'm too old. I can't do the 24/7 ministry anymore. I'm not qualified to do anything else. So, why bother? Well, I found out I could write curriculum. And I did. And I started writing curriculum. I was involved here. I was involved with Dublin Powell. I was involved with Southgate. Writing and editing curriculum for adult classes. And so I found something to do. Sometimes it's not a matter of being too old. Sometimes you're just going to have to realize you got to move in a different direction. The obstacles in our race may seem insurmountable, but they're not. So don't throw up your hands and throw in the towel and say, I quit. That's indifference, and it won't work. Number two, the author says, Nehemiah faced the obstacle of insufficiency. Nehemiah toured the city at night. And as he walked around Jerusalem, he saw the devastation. And he saw everything that had to be done. And he realized, man, are we going to be able to do this? Can we really do this? And I'm sure there were probably times, if he was human, where he said, there's no way. There's no way. And yet he realized that the building of that city was not based on Nehemiah's skills. It was based on Almighty God. And I'm telling you, when we come to grips in our congregations that our growth is not based on our collective skills, but on the power of God, we will grow. Sometimes we think, we get together and we talk about, what can we do? I wonder if we ever got together and said, what can God do? You see, our sufficiency, as Nehemiah's, was not in himself. Our sufficiency is an Almighty God. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. You ever heard the statement, God will not give us more than we can handle? You know what the Greek for that is? I get it all the time. I get stuff I can't handle on my own all the time. And it's a reminder to me that I need my God. And God gets me through. And so sure, you're going to face stuff where you are totally insufficient. But those things should simply be a reminder to you that God is the one fighting the battle. Little David goes out to fight Goliath. And I don't know that there was one step in his path toward Goliath where he said, I'm not sure this is right. I'm not sure this is right. I think David's every step was, the battle's God's, the battle's God's, the battle's God's. I've got to develop an attitude of little David. You see, my sufficiency is not in my size, my intellect, my education, my money. That's a good thing too. My sufficiency is in Jesus Christ. The third thing that Nehemiah faced was opposition. I tell you what, about the time Nehemiah got started, out of the woodwork, so to speak, came opposition. And that seems to always be the case. Seems to always be the case. And I have found in my 45 years of ministry, Satan doesn't attack those who are doing nothing. He's got them. Why would he attack them? Newton's third law of motion. Any of you familiar with that? Max, you're the smartest one in here. Do you know what Newton's... Newton's third law of motion says, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. That's true in physical things. That's true in spiritual things too. When we're moving, there's going to be an opposite reaction. Satan doesn't like us moving. And so we're going to face opposition. But the verse I have to keep in mind in 1 John, he that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. So when opposition comes, you know what? I haven't been keeping up with this. It just dawned on me. When opposition comes, what are we going to do? We're going to sit down and say, oh, I give up. Or am I going to understand the battle's the Lord's? And then there's the obstacle of slow progress. I have a hard time, reading Nehemiah and thinking that Nehemiah faced this. But I'm sure there probably was. Because in every building project, it doesn't go as fast as you want it to. And yet Nehemiah rebuilt the walls in 52 days. So things went along at a pretty good clip. But I'm sure there were times when it wasn't going as fast as Nehemiah wanted it to. And Nehemiah probably faced the same situation that we face in churches today. We will start out in something real fast. And then a month or 2 months later, it dies. We're losing. So we've got to go from one gadget to the next gadget to the next gadget to keep people's interest. Because the progress isn't fast enough. And when our programs lose momentum after a month, a lot of times they die a slow, miserable death. Several years ago, I was working with a football team at Heath High School, and I was chaplain for the team, but I was also on the sidelines, and I was in the locker room, and we had a devotion every Friday night before every game. Coach said, Dave, next 15 minutes is yours. And we would talk, and we would share, and we would pray. And then the coach would jump in their faces. And he would fire them up. And they were ready to walk through brick walls until they got on the field and got hit in the mouth. And that's a whole different ballgame now. That's true of so many people. We can sit in our meetings on Sunday morning. We can have our pep rallies. But when I get out Monday morning and I get hit in the mouth, my momentum tends to die down a little bit. And so the progress is slow. But the key is understanding that we are not in a sprint. We're in a marathon. And at halftime, our coach would say, okay, guys, we're halfway there. We've got the second half to go. And I'm telling you, we are in better shape than they are. I don't care what the scoreboard says. We're in better shape. We can play more aggressive ball in the second half than they can. We are in a marathon. We understand that we need to keep going. It's not going to happen real quick. But growth will happen if we are willing to stay faithful. Our kids, they wanted to grow up daily. We had a wall behind our front door that when you opened the front door, you couldn't see the wall. It was only when you closed the door could you see the wall. And on that wall, we had marks. And it said Derek. There was a line and a date. Derek, a line and a date. Derek, a line and a date. Andy and Brett and Melissa, a line and a date. They wanted to measure themselves every day. And it wasn't working. And they would get mad. We didn't grow it. We didn't grow any yesterday. And so we said, no more measuring for 3 months. And so 3 months, 4 months, we would measure them again. Aha. Church, don't look at yourself next week. Take a look at yourself 6 months from now. God is not interested in where we stand. God's interested in which direction we're going. Doesn't make a difference how tall you are today. Where are you going? And the progress may be slow, but don't lose heart. Because simply because growth may be slow doesn't mean that it's not growth. You're still growing. And then you got the obstacle of going through the motions. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, so I run with purpose in every step. I am not shadow boxing. The temptation is strong just to go through the motions. Have you ever watched somebody shadow box? Man, they can whip the world. They're dancing around the ring and they're punching and all that good stuff. What purpose is that? Not a lot. I might look good in my workouts, but it's not proving and serving any purpose. Sometimes churches go through the motions. Individuals go through the motions. Churches will say, okay, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I got 3 check marks this week. Yay! And we just get caught up in Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Is anybody making disciples? Aha. Or are we just meeting? The real and recurring problem faced by those who are pursuing a God-given calling is shadow boxing. We just go through the motions. And somehow we're going to have to realize we're in the ring. We're in a fight. And we're not fighting the air. Sometimes we're running down blind alleys. Paul said in Galatians 5, you were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? The church at Galatia, Paul was writing to correct some false doctrines and some false teachers. And they had started out great. He said, you were running so well. He said, you were running so well. But then they started believing all these lies and everybody around them, and pretty soon they were going this way and going that way, and they got caught up in legalism, and they got caught up in all this, and they stopped following Jesus. And whenever you stop following Jesus, you're going down a blind alley. Because Jesus said, I am the way. And so it's important that we fix our eyes on Jesus. And it's not just to those who finish first who win. It is for those who finish that win. And so you have the admonition of the Apostle John in Revelation 2:10. Be faithful to the extent of death. Whatever it takes, hang in there. Hang in there. That was the next one, of losing sight of the finish line. Let's run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We need to be faithful. There's several others that we can talk about. Ignorance, lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And that word knowledge, if I understand it, is actually the word revelation. My people perish for lack of a revelation. Without God talking to you, you're done. You're done. So we need to get to know the book. Because in it is revealed Jesus. And not in the book just to know the book. If you're in the book just to know the book, you're missing the real meaning of the book. And Jesus said so. Jesus said, you search the scriptures thinking that in them you find life. But life is in me. I don't care how many verses you can quote. Do I know Jesus? If you're from West Virginia, I don't care if we know the Bible kibber to kibber. If you don't know Jesus, then you don't know the book. And so Jesus said, what's the purpose of being in the book? It's not just knowledge, but it's knowledge about Jesus. A lack of certainty is another obstacle. Doubt. Well, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure where I stand. And I think, to me, the classic example of doubt and wavering is Peter. Jesus walking across the water. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, call me, and I'll come out to you. The Lord said, come on, Peter. Come on. Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water. And then he looked around and he saw the waves and he did a little self-analysis. He said, what's your name? My name's Peter. What's that mean? It means rock. What are you doing walking on the water? Lord, save me. Peter doubted. And Jesus said he doubted. He said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When we're going through life and God is with us, why do we doubt? A lack of certainty is an obstacle. And then there's fear and anxiety. The New Testament tells the story of the disciples sleeping in a boat in the middle of a big storm. Or they were in the boat, Jesus was sleeping. And they're saying, "Oh my, Jesus, don't you care what's going on here?" And again, Jesus said, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" And he calmed the storm. When I face an obstacle and the storms around me are raging, why do I fear? I have seen my God calm so many storms in our lives. It's hard to fear anymore. Do I still get anxious? Oh, yeah. Do I still have doubts? Oh, yeah. I just need to remember who's in my boat. And that's Jesus. How do you overcome all these obstacles? The author says, embrace the obstacle. Okay, let's face this thing. And then he says, I want you to persevere in prayer. And then he said, Nehemiah kept on building. He didn't let it get him. The opposition and all the obstacles that he faced, he just kept on building. And I believe these obstacles can hinder our development of faith. I believe they can. But for every obstacle, I believe there's a clear way to overcome it. One of history's greatest victories happened when God's people let God lead during the Battle of Jericho. Okay, we've got a plan. Here's the plan. I want all of you to march around the city. March around the city. That doesn't sound like much of a plan. But they obeyed. And the walls fell. I want to share with you seven ways that I believe we can overcome obstacles. Number one, focus on how big God's power is rather than how big our problem is. Little David went out to fight Goliath. Everybody else in Israel's camp, including King Saul, said he is too big to fight. David picked up his slingshot and his rocks, and he said he is too big to miss. I don't care how big your problem is, God is bigger than any obstacle you will face. Do not put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Put the emphasis on God's power, not on how big the problem is. Number two, trust in God's plan even when it doesn't make sense. And I'm pulling these from the story of the Battle of Jericho. How much sense did it make to march around the city? But it was God's plan. And God may have a plan for your life that seems unconventional and mysterious and hidden from your limited human perspective. But that's okay. Because I don't want to know everything that God knows. Because I don't want to be God. And if I knew everything that God knows, it'd probably scare me to death anyway. And so I need to trust His plan. And when I decide to trust God's plan, I can count on His deliverance. He'll take care. God, I don't know what You have in mind for me. And there could be some tough challenges ahead. But I trust You. I'm going to use the gray matter that You gave me and make the best decisions that I can with the information that I have. But I'm going to trust You. And when I hear You telling me to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Number three, ask the Holy Spirit to help you cast aside those fears. How I do that is I recall God's love for me during moments that were tough. And those times when I needed courage to move forward with His plan, I just let the Holy Spirit bring to mind some verses. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And I'm thinking, okay, I can handle this. 1 John 4 and verse 16. We know and rely on the love that God has for us. You don't learn to rely on something until you've tested it. Test Him. He's not above that. Be willing to say yes to whatever God asks you to do. Number four, surround yourself with other believers who are committed to the same goal. We need each other. We are desperate for strength. We are desperate for fellowship to keep us going. I can't do this thing on my own. I think that's why the Hebrew writer, through the Holy Spirit, said, encourage one another daily by not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 doesn't say go to church or go to hell. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says encourage each other. Encourage each other. When you get together, encourage each other. What are our assemblies about? Are we encouraging each other? Or do we come and punch our ticket and we're gone? Surround yourself with other believers. That's hard to read, isn't it? Keep putting one foot in front of the other if you're going to consistently make progress. Every day, choose to take one more step. It's always too soon to give up. There was a group, quartet, out of Michigan called the Silvertones. And this is 100 years ago. But they had a song where they sang, I've come too far to turn back now. I can see the lights of home. Are you there? I can see the lights of home. I'm not turning back now. I've come too far. And so I just keep putting one foot in front of another. And I have to keep reminding myself that I am on God's timetable. And I just pray for strength that I need to persevere. God help me. Number 6, welcome the blessings of God by obeying God. Is enough. We're blessed by hearing and doing. It's just that simple. And I think it's legitimate to expect our reward, not because we have obeyed and we've done this, 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 and this, and therefore, God, you owe me. But when God says, you obey me, I'll bless you with this. And I believe God. I don't think he would lie to me. And so when I obey God in small ways, he'll lead me to a greater level of faith, a greater level of responsibility. I just need to welcome his blessings by obeying. And finally, get ready for a season of joy. Seek to learn all the lessons that God wants to teach you. Accept all the challenges that are coming. And then be confident at the end of this journey, there's a home. And most assuredly, I will dwell in the house of my Lord forever. Notice the hopeful signs that God gives you along the way. Praise God for who he is, not just what he's doing. And I can tell you, it's just going to be a matter of time before God will give you a victory in the race. And we win. And we win. Sneak a peek at the book of Revelation. We win. That's all that Revelation is saying. You can try to figure out all the signs. You can try to put all the meaning to all that stuff. But the message is, we won. And so maybe, knowing that I am a winner, maybe I ought to live like it. Maybe I ought to act like I'm a winner and stop acting like I've been baptized in vinegar. God said, I will bless you. It's only a matter of time. And we'll be home. The key, stay faithful, and you'll overcome your obstacles. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for blessing us. And Father, we thank you for an empty tomb that shows us that you can do the impossible. And you can get us through those times when it seems that death is inevitable. Father, help us always to keep our eyes fixed on you and thank you for a home at the end of this journey. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask if there's any questions, but I'm afraid there are. So I won't. Yeah.
I just want to take a moment. Thank you, Dr. Novotny, for helping the Barbara Streeter. Did not know what to do. There's too many good Christian people.